Good morning and welcome to Sunrise Baptist Church. And I'm glad that you have joined us today as we worship God. And the title of my message today is The Unmasked Christian. And I want to focus on being vulnerable before God. Isn't it been a unique journey this week? He wants us to come to Him just as we are. Not as we think we should be, or how we think others think we should be. One of my favorite country songs and singer is Alan Jackson. And he sings a wonderful hymn called Just As I Am. And some of you may be familiar with that song. And the verse goes, Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And that thou biddest me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we gather together today in worship, in word, Father, in song, in prayer, with praise and thanksgiving in our hearts, we ask, Lord, that as you meet with us in our homes, come for our hearts to embrace your truth, our ears to listen, for the Holy Spirit to do just a wonderful work in our lives. Praise you and give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Unfortunately, as we speak of those verses in that song, for most of us, we come to God dressed up fancy. That's something I observed when I started going to church as a teenager. Trying to impress Him on the outside because we're afraid that He'll see what's going on in the inside. Why do we always see some protesters, as we've been seeing on the news, wearing masks and hoodies? Because they don't want to be identified, right? Who they really are. They want to keep their identity a secret. Well, for some of us, we are dressed Christians. And what I mean by that is that dressed Christians want the world to know that they are something different, that they are something better than who they really are. And we come with our own masks. We pray that God and the people around us won't really see who we really are on the inside. Instead of singing the words, just as I am, we stand and we sing, just as I want you to see me. Jesus calls these people hypocrites. An actor, a stage player, one who hides behind a mask. Back in the Bible times, they would prefer plays in the palaces, and the actors would come out and wear double-sided masks. I saw a similar act like this on America's Got Talent, and they would play two roles of two different people, and they'd turn the mask over for each different character. So they were literally two-faced. They call these people hypocrites. The same name that Jesus called these people who were in Matthew 15. Matthew 15, verse 7 and 8, it says, you hypocrites, Isaiah was right as he prophesied about you. These people honor you with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Hypocrites, people who say one thing and do another. I want you to open up your scripture verses this morning as we look at words that Jesus spoke. That's Luke 11, verses 39 to 46. When the Lord said to him, "Now then, you Pharisees, clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You foolish people, did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? But give what is inside the dish to the poor, and everything will be clean for you. Woe to you Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without keeping the former undone. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you love the most important seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, because you are like unmarked graves, which men walk over without knowing it." One of the experts in the law answered him, "Teacher, when you say these things, you insult us also." Jesus replied, "And you experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them." How many of you here have ever known someone who is hypocritical, two-faced, a fake person within your lifetime? I have known many, and at times, I've been one. I had friends who attended a Christian high school here in Calgary. And for a couple of years, until they graduated, they had shared with me that they had never met more hypocritical, two-faced people in their entire life. I found that kind of astounding and didn't truly believe it until I experienced the same thing when I started going to church for the very first time when I was 17 and meeting the students in the youth group that I was going to school with many years before and played sports with and become friends with, and all of a sudden realizing that the lives that they kind of lived and did at church never matched up what they did at school. They didn't mesh. They weren't the same. There are many students who went to Christian schools, right, who were raised in Christian homes and acted like Christians in front of their parents, in front of the teachers and their friends. But when it came down actually having a relationship with Christ, they didn't have one. You could tell that they were hypocritical people because of the way they acted when they were around their friends. They made the outside look clean, but the inside was dirty. This is one of the first things that I encountered, right, when I started going to church. I was an outsider who had an inside view. There are many of my family and relatives who have shared with me that they've kind of turned off by church, because they've encountered Christians who have proclaimed God with their mouths and gone and done the total opposite with their lifestyle. They found this unbelievable, unfathomable. Little tongue twister there. But how can a believer, right, us, an unmasked and spiritually vulnerable before God while living a hypocritical life? The answer is obvious. We can't. There's two characteristics of hypocritical people. And I want to spend a few minutes as we read through Luke 11, talking about some of these characteristics of hypocritical people compared to some characteristics of unmasked Christians. Hypocritical people polish the outside while they neglect the inside. Just as Jesus spoke here, verses 39 to 41, it speaks of those Pharisees. I don't know how you dust at home, but in most cases we go around and we dust the outside of things and don't worry sometimes about the inside. There's dust all the way on the outside, but whatever. But as long as it looks clean on the outside, I know that as I grew up, and even my own kids, I'll ask them to dust something, and they definitely make the outside look good, but I forget to do the inside. I really like that analogy. And when I was a teenager, I was a true Lakers fan. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, he was my favorite basketball player, Magic Johnson. But of course, in the glory days, but yes, I have to admit that, again, they're not a glorious team right now. They're kind of horrible. But again, one time that they were amazing. When I was a teenager, there had been some NBA commemorative cups. And they had a few different kind of cups for the Lakers, just because they were one of the popular teams and winning teams back then, as with the Bulls. Well, you could only buy one at a time. So, of course, what did I do? I went back each and every day purchasing the whole set. So I had the whole set of the Lakers cups. Of course, did I go home and, you know, crack open a Coke and pour it in? Nope, not in your life. I put those on my shelf to display in my room, right, for a long time, just to admire how cool they looked. I kept them nice and clean on the outside for my friends to admire when they came over and hung out. And on the inside, I never used them. Many people in and outside of the church circles are just like my Laker cups, right? But of course, you know, I no longer have them. I threw them away. They try to maintain their beauty on the outside while they neglect what's on the inside. Let's look at Luke 11, verse 42. It says here, "Woe to you, Pharisees, but you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of gardens, herbs. But you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone." The Pharisees walked around in their finest clothes, boasting on how blessed they were of God. And they'd make it known when they went to pay their tithes. They would sit in the best seats in the temples, the synagogues, so everyone could admire them and be impressed by them. Yet at the same time, they could care less for the actual love of God and neglect those nearest to the heart of God. And Jesus warned them, saying, "What's the point paying your tithes when you could care less about what God thinks?" It's important to respect God. And that's where it comes in the Lord's Prayer. "Hallowed be thy name." That we would come to him with our best. But when it's not about impressing God and it starts to become about impressing others, then you need to refocus your goal. Hypocritical people polish the outside and they neglect the inside. But the unmasked Christian focuses on restoring the inside while simply maintaining the outside. Right? We don't want to let the outside kind of, you know, like, get away from us. But it's the inside that is so crucial. The contrast here, it's simple. Let us focus on what's going on in our hearts and in our minds, rather than focusing on the stuff that will someday vanish. It says that this body, right, isn't eternal. It'll go into the ground and decay. But we'll be alive eternally in heaven, in our spirit. Remember, God wants us to come spiritually vulnerable to Him, not wearing any mask, because He sees through those anyway. Hypocritical people worry about what others think and not what God thinks. The unmasked Christian are concerned about the heart of God. In Luke 12, verses 4 to 5, it says, "I tell you, my friends, not to be afraid of those who kill the body, after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after the killing of the body, has power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him." Unmasked Christians fear God rather than man. And they also recognize how powerful God is and how powerless man is. And we're concerned about the very heart of God. Then the second characteristic of hypocritical people: don't practice what they preach. In Luke 11, verse 46, it shares, Jesus replied, "And you experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them." This speaks of a lot of the minute things, the laws of having to carry out the do's and the don'ts to try, in a sense, stay perfect. I remember being called out many times and people saying to me, "Hey, Stephen," or "Dad, practice what you preach." Came across this poem and it kind of hit home as I thought about sometimes those very words ringing from the mouths of my children. "You can know all the scriptures, have all the Bibles you can reach, but when push comes to shove, do you practice what you preach? Anyone can go to church and collapse on the floor, but when judgment day comes, will you be at heaven's door? You can have the biggest outfits and say the Holy Ghost passed through, but is it that really reflected in the things that you do? You can yell far and wide proclaiming your love for Christ, but what have you given him when for you he's given his life? You can lecture others about the wrong things they do, but before you look at others, you need to look at you. You can boast of good deeds to show us the spirit within, but why show it to us? You should show it to him. You can memorize the Bible, know it front to back. Don't use it to regulate others, but regulate how you act. Take a good look at yourself, not at what others do, because when he comes to get his children, will he be coming for you? I took those very words and examined truly my inner self, my heart, and my very actions. Hypocritical people don't practice what they preach. But the unmasked Christian practices what the Holy Spirit teaches. Luke 12, verses 11, 12, it says, when you are brought before synagogue rulers and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. Instead of practicing what you preach, practice what the Holy Spirit teaches through God's Word. The Holy Spirit has the ability to help each and every one of us through anything that we need, big or small. An unmasked Christian depends on God and His power, rather than their own abilities and strengths. And I come, with that being said, asking, what's the solution? Truly, I've been around a table at times acting poorly in the sense that I could go all day sometimes talking about hypocritical people, the do's and the don'ts. But what I came to realize is that I don't want to focus on the problem. I want to find the solution. And by finding the solution, we always turn to God's Word. And we ask her, and I came to be guided to be sharing and preaching with you this morning on what does Jesus say? Taking a moment and looking at Matthew, at the very words that Jesus spoke, to find out how Jesus would handle hypocrisy. In Matthew 23:13, it says, woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. How did Jesus handle this? Jesus confronted hypocrisy. The Pharisees would concern themselves with the minor things, those little kind of details of the do's and don'ts. When it came down to it, did those things actually truly matter on what you ate or how many steps did you take? I recall when I started going to church, the malls were closed on Sunday morning. And then they began to open up at noon. And then they opened up all day on Sunday. So before Sunday, in a sense, they were respecting the holy day. They were, in a sense, respecting the Christian holy Sunday. And I remember someone coming to me, and I was going shopping to get some pieces of sports equipment. And they said, what are you doing, Stephen? What am I doing? I'm going shopping. Well, did you know that it's wrong to go shopping on Sunday? I'm like, okay. Again, I was a new Christian. I was trying to figure this out. What do you mean it's wrong to go shopping on Sunday? Well, it's a holy day. It's supposed to be a day of rest. Okay. See, if you go shopping, then you are having to make people work because you want to go buy something. And so because you want to buy something, the store has to be open. So there has to be employees. And so they're actually working on Sunday morning. So they actually don't get a chance to have an opportunity maybe to go to church or have a day of rest and hear God's word. I was put back by that. And I'm like, okay, I'll stop shopping on Sundays. But as I grew as a Christian, I came to understand where going, for sure, that has some good merit to it. But is that really major? Jesus focused on the opposite, not those little things. Jesus focused on the major things. Hypocrisy is a major thing. That's what Jesus focused in on. How many of us know people who are hypocrites? Right? How many of us know people who are living that life? They say one thing and they live another. How do we come to them? How do we confront these people? Paul painted a picture in Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2. It says, brothers, if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. See, it's coming and offering grace and love to one another. There are two ways that we need to confront brothers and sisters in the Lord when dealing with hypocrisy. Restoration. In verse 1 in chapter 6 in Galatians, brothers and sisters, if anyone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. It's so important that we come to our fellow brothers and sisters. We don't, we do it ultimately to restore them. But often at times we come to exchange restoration with condemnation. We ended up coming with a judgment spirit. It's a lot easier to condemn than it is to restore. The word restore comes from the Greek word katartizo. Of course, I didn't pronounce that quite perfectly. But to perfectly repair. Make better than new. Restore. We think of old cars. And I remember going to an old car show and people wanted to purchase certain cars and they would have a magnet with them. I asked my dad, why would they have a magnet? He said, well, they want to see if it was restored and repaired back to being new, or did they just use a compound called Bondo and just filled it in and made it look like it was new? So you could tell they used steel to do a really good job, and then magnet would stick to that. Or if it was Bondo, the magnet wouldn't stick. Our role in the body of Christ is so important to one another. God can use us to make relationships with others and their relationship with God perfectly repaired or better than new. That's why we come alongside. We need to have the ultimate goal of restoring and not condemnation and judgment. Listen to what the heart of James has when he speaks in James 5, verses 19 to 20. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save him from the death and cover over a multitude of sins. Those are incredible and powerful words from James. Then we come to the second part of Galatians 6:2, and being able to come alongside a brother and sister with commitment. It says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. When we commit to confronting with restoration, we also commit to carrying each other's burdens. The word carry comes from the Greek word bastisto, to lift, to sustain, and take up. We are to lift the burdens of those who are hurting. We're to sustain the weak. We're to take up those who need strength and those who need help. When you find someone who ends up being dizzy or a little faint, what do? You come alongside and you grab a hold of their arm and you put your arm under there and you help hold them to sustain them from falling over. We need to be there for those people, no matter what. It's our responsibility to confront those that we love so that we might be able to restore them, to lift them up from their burdens, sustaining them when they're weak. Now take a moment and just take a breath, because here we get a little bit deeper, a little more personal. What if you are the hypocrite? What if you are the one who knows what is right, and yet you are doing the wrong thing? God's word is so incredible. And he comes and he gives us an example right here in the Old Testament. King David loved the Lord. When he did then, he sought the Lord in all things. But one day David decided to stay home from the war and not fight. He found himself somewhere where he shouldn't have been. He was looking at someone that he shouldn't have been looking at. Thinking about something that he shouldn't have been thinking about. And then he did something that he should have never done. He committed adultery and murder. David disappointed God. How many of us maybe have been in that spot before? God was upset with David. So he sent the prophet Nathan to give David a message. Another brother and sister to come alongside. Nathan confronted David and told him a story about a very wealthy man and a very poor man. Well, the wealthy man had lots of cattle, lots of sheep, but the poor man only had one sheep that he raised since the sheep was little, and it became a part of the family and was like a child to him. Nathan went on to tell him that a traveler had come to town and asked the rich man if he could feed him. Well, the rich man, instead of giving instructions to go and kill one of his own sheep or cattle, he took the only sheep that the poor man had and slaughtered it for the traveler. David was just out of his mind. He was furious. And this is how David responded in 2 Samuel 12, verses 5 and 7. David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die. He must pay for that lamb four times over, because he did such a thing and had no pity." Nathan then said to David, "You are that man." Ouch. We come to a decision. Do we continue to walk in a life of hypocrisy, saying one thing and doing another? Or do we continue to let ones we love do the same? Or are we going to come before the Lord, spiritually vulnerable, in his presence. Without a mask, that we would come, unmask ourselves just as we are. In the midst of David's sin, David shared a prayer, and he shared this from Psalm 51. I want you to pray with me as I read this scripture. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for your truth and the accountability that it brings, but also, Father, the power of being able to restore and strengthen us and renew us. Father, I thank you for the truth that it brings and allows us to know how we can come alongside our brothers and sisters with love to restore them. But also, Father, to know that we can be renewed and restored ourselves when we fail and fall. Father, we ask your forgiveness. We praise you and thank you for your generous grace and mercy. Through Jesus Christ, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope you have just a tremendous week and blessings on you.